早安。
Today is Epiphany.
今天是主显节。
I don't know how many of you know what Epiphany is.
我不知道你们当中有多少人知道什么是主显节。
But traditionally in the church calendar, it's the day that the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus.
按照传统教会的阅历来说，主显节就是当初那博士，东方的几位博士来到婴儿耶稣基督那里崇拜他。
So technically today is the last day of Christmas.
所以我们可以说从技巧这个可以严格的来说，今天是圣诞节的最后一天。
Let's go to the next slide. So, what do you feel after Christmas?
你们觉得圣诞节如何呢？
Do you feel frustration or disappointment?
你们是因着圣诞节而感到有一些失望或是挫折吗？
I mean, technically, after a holiday like Christmas, everybody should be really happy and positive about a new year, right?
基本上来说，我们因为有假期，圣诞假期，我们应该都很快乐，然后都很期待新年的来到。
But I find that far too many people, you know, after the big build-up leading to the holiday, that everything going back to normal is kind of hard for them.
然而，我观察到有些人因为对假期的期望非常的高，但是后来有这个假期过后以后，一切又恢复正常，他们就是有一点失望。
You may have gotten all the presents that you wanted for Christmas.
我不知道你们是不是都已经得到你们所想要的圣诞礼物。
And they're already starting to get old.
是不是你的礼物已经有点不那么新鲜了？
Or you might not have gotten what you wanted for Christmas.You might not have gotten what you wanted for Christmas.
你可能在圣诞节所得到礼物并不是你所期望的。
Or maybe the family time wasn't quite as good as you'd hoped for.
或者是你们全家在假期团聚的时间并不是像你所想象的那么愉快。
But I find again that a lot of times things don't really go the way you expect them to.
然而事实上常常很多事情都不是如我们所愿的那样发生。
So I want to tell you a couple stories about frustrations after Christmas.
我现在告诉你们一个关于圣诞节后失望的一个故事。
My daughter Kelly, my second oldest daughter, is getting a PhD in medieval musicology.
Musicology. 我的第二个女儿凯莉，她在读博士学位，是主修中古时代的音乐理论。
It's one of those fields where I think that there was very slim chance she'll get a job when she finishes.
当她完成这个学位的时候，看来工作的机会并不是很乐观。
But ever since she was a little kid, she loved anything that had to do with the Middle Ages.
但是她从小就对中古时代的任何事情都非常感兴趣。
You know, knights and princesses and all kinds of kings and queens.
就像中古时代的故事，那些祭祀，国王、皇后。
So when she was about, I guess 13 years old, I decided I was going to get her something that she would really like that was kind of middle age-ish.
当她13岁的时候，我就决定要给她一个礼物，是她所喜欢的，与中古时代有关的。
And about October, I was walking through a flea market, and I found the perfect gift.
大概在十月间的时候，那年我在那个跳蚤市场，就是卖旧货的市场上面，看到了一个很适合给他的礼物。
I found a letter opener that looked just like a medieval sword.
我发现一把拆信刀，这个形状就好像中古时代那个祭祀的那个剑。
She was very much into writing letters to friends and things like that, so I thought, well, this will be something she'll really like.
我女儿很喜欢跟朋友写信，所以这个拆信刀她一定会喜欢的。
And she did.
她的确非常喜欢。
The problem was, I bought the gift in October.
但是问题是说，我在这个礼物我是十月份就买的。
And on Christmas, I could not find it.
然而到了圣诞节的时候，我找不到这把拆信刀了。
And she finally got her present in March when I did find it.
我女儿终于在三月份的时候得到了这份圣诞礼物，那就是当我在三月找到这个礼这个刀。
She was a little disappointed she didn't get her gift on Christmas. She just got a picture.
她非常失望，因为她圣诞节所没有得到她所想要的礼物，只得到了这个礼物的照片。
And I was really disappointed because I thought I was losing my mind.
我也对我自己非常失望，觉得我真的是搞昏头了。
But you know, it all worked out okay.
但是结果还不错。
But another story though, it didn't work out quite as well.
还有另外一个圣诞节失望的故事，结果就不是这么妙了。
When I was a little boy, my family was fairly poor.
当我还是一个小男孩的时候，我们家非常贫穷。
And so Christmas was a huge holiday for us.
所以圣诞节对我们来讲是非常重要、非常盛大的一个节日。
My grandparents were fairly well off, and so they bought us all kinds of great stuff.
我的祖父母们经济状况比较好，所以他们总是给我们买很多很棒的圣诞礼物。
We got most of our clothes for the whole year at Christmas, so there were dozens of presents to open.
我们通常是在圣诞节的时候得到的那些衣服就够我们穿一年的。我们真是得到真的成打的礼物。
But it wasn't only exciting for my sister and I, it was also exciting for my parents.
我不只是为我的姐妹们高兴，我也为我的父母们高兴。
Because in addition to the presents that they gave, my grandparents always gave my parents each a $100 bill.
因为除了祖父母除了给我们礼物，也给我的父母100块钱的现金。
Now you have to remember that in the mid-1950s, a $100 bill was more like $1,000 today.
你们要想一想，在1950年代的时候，$100大概价值几乎是像今天的$1,000。
And so it really went a long way towards helping out with the family budget.
所以这$100对我们家的这个预算经济是非常帮助的。
Always exciting for everyone.
所以我们家每一个人都很兴奋。
But my grandfather was one of these kind of people who was extremely neat.
我的祖父是一个极度整洁的人。
And so as packages got opened, he would take the wrapping paper and make it into a ball and put it into a garbage bag.
他在拆礼物的时候就会把包装纸打开，然后做成一个纸球放到垃圾桶里。
And so, you know, there wasn't this huge mess when we'd get done. Everything was in a garbage bag.
所以我们拆礼物之后就乱七八糟，但是以后这些包装都进了垃圾桶。
Now, I grew up in a very small rural community.
我是在一个很小的一个乡村环境长大。
And so garbage pickup, was only done about once a month.
所以在我们那个地方啊，只有一个月才来收一次垃圾。
And we had these big 55-gallon drums where we would burn our garbage.
所以我们有一个50加仑大的一个很大的一个容器，我们把我们的垃圾在里面烧掉。
And so, right after we opened our packages, my grandfather took all the wrapping paper and stuff to the garbage can and he burned it.
所以在我们拆完礼物之后，我的祖父就把那些包装纸的拆下来的这些废纸都拿到垃圾桶去烧掉。
It was only an hour or two later when they realized one of the $100 bills was missing.
然而一两个小时之后，他发现到他的100块这个现钞不见了。
My grandfather, well, let's put it this way. My grandmother was very unhappy with him for a long time.
让我这样述，我这样说，我的祖母多年来都对我的祖父不是很愉快。
And the next year, there were $100 checks in the package rather than $100 bills.
所以下一年以后，他们就收到了是100块的一个支票，而不是现金。
But you can imagine the letdown after that happened.
你可以想象我们那时是多么的沮丧失望。
Now, your post-Christmas letdown may not be anything like my grandfather's was.
我想你们这个圣诞节后的失望沮丧大概不会像我祖父的当年那样的失望。
And it may not even be as bad as my daughter Kelly's was.
大概也不会像我女儿凯莉那年没收到是很久以后才收到圣诞礼物那样的失望。
But all of us will face times either after Christmas or other times throughout the year where we find ourselves having a difficult time with our circumstances.
然而我们可能都会在圣诞节之后新年的时候发现到我们面临一些困难的时刻。
And this passage in Luke this morning, gives us a little bit of an idea how we can deal with disappointments when they arise.
今天我们所读的这段经文可以帮助我们对付这样的情况，就是当我们必须面对失望沮丧的时候。
And we're going to find three specific concepts that will help us to deal with those letdowns when they happen.
我们可以发现三个概念可以帮助我们对付失望沮丧的时刻。
Next slide, yeah, thanks. Okay, so...How do we deal? Oh, actually, go to the next one too. I should have had you go sooner. So the first one of these concepts is the whole concept of the sovereignty of God.
我们今天所要谈的第一个概念就是神的主权的概念。
And when we think about God's sovereignty, we find ourselves in a situation where we don't always like the direction that it leads us.
我对于神的主权，我们并不是总是非常想要喜欢的。
And think of the Christmas story.
就像圣诞节的故事。
Mary and Joseph had to make a trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem.
约瑟和玛利亚他们必须从拿撒勒旅行到耶路撒冷。
You know, some crazy Roman emperor decided that he wanted a census of everybody who lived in his empire.
当时的那个君主就是想要要做一个普遍的人口调查。
And he couldn't just count them where they lived. He wanted them to all go back to their ancestral homelands.
他并不只是数算人头，他希望他们都回到他们的家乡去报道。
Now, for some people, that would have been a lot more difficult than it was for even Mary and Joseph.
对有些人来讲可能就是很困难像约瑟跟玛利亚这样挺困难的。
But you have to remember that Mary was 8.5 months pregnant.
我们必须记着玛利亚当时是怀孕八个月。
And they didn't have, nice interstate highways.
那时候也没有这么方便的洲际公路。
As a matter of fact, they didn't even have very good roads.
他们的只是有一些非常崎岖的道路。
And it was going to be a 75 to a 90 mile trip for a very pregnant woman.
他们这一段旅程大概有75到80英里之遥对一个怀孕的妇女来讲是挺辛苦的。
Can you imagine how hard it would have been for her?
你们能不能想象对玛丽来讲这段旅程有多么辛劳?
I mean, we see pictures of Mary sitting on a donkey, you know, walking to Jerusalem.
我们看到的图片好像显示玛利亚坐在一个驴子上面进耶路撒冷。
But we don't know that she had a donkey.
但是我们并不能确定她的确有驴子可以坐。
She may have walked.
她可能需要步行。
She might have had a donkey.
她可能有一只驴子。
She might have ridden in a cart.
她可能还有一个驴子后面还有一个拖车。
But my wife had 5 kids.
我的太太有五个小孩。
And when she was ready to give birth to a baby, she did not want to be moving, period, let alone bumping up and down.
当她快要临盆生孩子的时候，她并不想去做任何旅行，更不要提是在这种颠簸的旅途。
And this was going to be a several day trip.
这是要好几天的旅程。
So it was long, and it was hard.And it was expensive.
所以这个旅程是很长的，而且非常艰辛，而且也是昂贵的。
But Mary and Joseph decided that they would be obedient to the law that had been handed down by the Roman government.
然而，约瑟和玛利亚决定要顺从当时这个法律。
What if they rebelled against that?
如果他们不顺服这个法律，会怎样呢？
If they hadn't followed Caesar's decree, then Jesus would not have been born in the place that he was supposed to be born.
如果他们没有顺从这个法律，那主耶稣可能就不会在预言中所说的地方降生。
The Messiah was prophesied in the book of Micah over 700 years before that he would be born in Bethlehem.
因为在旧约的弥迦书里面，就是在主耶稣出生的700年前就已经预言弥赛亚要在伯利恒降生。
And yet, because they were willing to yield to what the government said at this point, Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
因为约瑟玛利亚愿意顺服当时政府的法律，所以耶稣婴孩就是在伯利恒降生。
God had been preparing for this birth for hundreds of years.
神为弥赛亚的降生准备了几百年了。
And while it was hard, they were willing to obey.
他们是愿意顺从。
They also had to follow a crazy little law that said that they had to present their son on the eighth day in the temple for his naming.
他们约瑟玛利亚也必须顺服这样一个律法，就是是听起来是有点过分的律法，就是在婴孩出生的第八天，他们要到圣殿去献祭。
I mean, who would have known if they hadn't gone, right? Who would have known if they hadn't done this?
事实上并没有人会去查他们到底有没有遵守这个宪法去献祭。
And yet they were obedient to the command that had been given down to them through the scriptures.
然而照着经文所记载，我们知道他们顺从了这个律法。
And because they were, the confirmation of who their son was going to be was powerfully illustrated.
正因着他们的顺服遵守这个摩西的律法，所以他们就得到了一个非常有力明显的确认，他们这个婴孩的使命是，他们这个婴孩是谁，他的使命是什么。
And so sometimes God gives us commands that we don't understand and we don't really like.
有的时候神给我们的命令我们并不完全理解，而且我们可能也不喜欢。
And sometimes God allows governments to exist that ask us to do things whichYou know, just really don't set well with us.
有时候呢，神也允许政府存在一些不是很好的法律存在。
And yet, if we are willing to trust that God knows what He's doing, then good things will happen.
我们必须要愿意相信神，相信神知道他在做什么，会有好的结果出来。
Let's go to the next slide.So the first concept was the sovereignty of God. The second concept we see in this passage is the whole aspect of what the service of the godly is supposed to be like.
第一个概念是关于神的主权。那第二个概念我们就是看到这些侍奉神的情形应该是如何。
Sometimes, you know, we think of God's service as being a big flashy type of thing.
我们有的时候会想侍奉神是应该是一个很引人注目的事。
The average person thinks, oh, well, I can't really serve God because I'm not a preacher.
有的人会说我不能侍奉神因为我不会讲道。
Or I'm not an evangelist. Or I'm not an evangelist. That they think I'm not serving.
他们也许会说我并不是很会布道。
And in reality, that's just not true.
事实上并非如此。
I mean, sometimes preachers think that they're really not serving God the way they should be if they're not pastoring a church of 5,000 people.
有的时候有的讲道者认为他如果不是像五千人的一个大教会来讲道，他好像就没有在侍奉神了。
I work with a small group of people at the University of Illinois.
我在伊利诺大学侍奉一些很小的群众。
And I have friends from seminary that are pastoring churches that are huge.
我在神学院里的一些同学，他们是很大教会的牧师。
Have I failed? Am I not serving God well?
我是不是就在侍奉神这方面是失败的呢？没有好好侍奉神。
Some of my friends who are pastoring these big churches think they've failed.
然而我这些在大教会侍奉做牧师的朋友认为他们失败了。
They think they should be writing best-selling books.
他们认为他们应该写一些畅销书。
Or that they should be preaching to crowds of thousands of people all around the world.
或者他们认为他们应该向全世界数以千计的人来讲道。
And in reality, these are all more an ego thing than they really are offering proper service to God.
事实上这可能都跟我们的一个这个自我有关，而不是真正的来谦卑侍奉神。
Think about Simeon for a moment.
我们来看来思想一下西缅这个人。
In verses 29 through 32,we see that there's some really exciting things that happen.
关于西缅，我们从39节到 32节看到他有一些让人兴奋的地方。
Simeon says this, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel.
在29节他说，主啊，如今可以照你的话释放仆人安然去世，因为我的眼睛已经看见你的救恩，就是你在万民面前所预备的，是照亮外邦人的光，又是你以色列的荣耀。
There have been songs written about this passage.
有一些诗歌就是依着这段经文而写的。
And it's a very famous part of the after Christmas story.
这是圣诞节之后的一些故事里面非常著名的一个。
Yet who was Simeon?
谁是西面?
I mean, we see Simeon only in this very small passage of scripture and only for a moment.
我们对西面的了解只有在整个圣经里面只有在这一段经节里面。
We know that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him at some point that he would get to see the Messiah come before he died.
我们知道在某个时候圣灵对他说话，说他将会亲眼看见弥赛亚，在他去世之前他会亲眼见到弥赛亚。We
don't know how long that promise had been waiting to be fulfilled.
我们不知道他为了等待这个应许等了多久。
All that we know is that he was very old by this time.
但我们所知道是，当他真的看到主耶稣的时候，他非常的年迈。
And one morning the Holy Spirit kind of nudges him a little bit and says, hey, you should be at the temple this morning.
就是有一天早上圣灵就催逼他说，西面，你今天应该到圣殿去。
And he goes and here's Jesus.
他就顺从圣灵的感动去了圣殿，就看到了主耶稣基督。
This was something that he had anticipated and wanted to see happen for probably most of his life.
这一刻可能就是他一生所等待的一个时刻。
Matter of fact, it's to the point where he starts out his saying by saying, Let your servant now die in peace.
他所说的就是说，主啊，让你的仆人可以安然离世。
My eyes have seen your salvation.
我的眼睛已经看见你的救恩。
And for Simeon, that was the defining point of his entire life and ministry.
对西面来说，这一刻就定义了他一生的侍奉。
We don't know what happened to Simeon after that.
我们也不知道西面之后发生了什么事情。
But God used him powerfully in this situation.
然而神在这个情况之中强而有力地使用了西面。
Because through Simeon's words, Mary and Joseph now realize that their son really is who God said he would be.
因为从西面的话语，约瑟和玛利亚就更确定了，知道他们的儿子是谁，就是神所预定的。
He's going to be, as his name says, salvation.
他们的儿子就是像他的名字一样，耶稣是要就是拯救，要把他的名从罪恶中拯救出来。And
he's going to bring glory to Israel.
他们的儿子要为以色列带来荣耀。But
perhaps even more importantly, Simeon throws something in here that the Jews did not recognize.
可能更重要的一点是西面指出了一个犹太人当时并不理解的一点。Because
he was going to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles.
因为他说这里说到主耶稣会成为外邦人的光。Now,
is anybody here Jewish today?
你们当中有犹太人吗?
Probably not.
大概没有。And
because of what Jesus did, all of us have been invited into the family of God.
因为耶稣所成就的，所有的人都被邀请进入神的家庭。Paul
says we've actually been grafted into the true Israel.
保罗说，我们事实上就好像是被接枝一样，接到一个真正的以色列人。Simeon
got to see this.
西面不能看见这些。
And he got to share this.
但是他可以分享这个。Not
just with Mary and Joseph.
不只是把这个信息带给约瑟玛利亚。
But with all that were in the temple that day.
是带给当时在圣殿所有的人。
And with all of us, even this far into the future.
以及在这之后要读到这段圣经的人。
Now his service was pretty cool, right?
他的侍奉是不是非常的棒？
But he also had a part that wasn't so cool.
然而他的侍奉里面也有一些部分并不是这么好的。
Because when you read down in verses 34 and 35, he says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he says to Mary, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
在34到35节我们读到西面给他们祝福，又对孩子的母亲玛利亚说，这孩子悖逆，是要叫以色列中许多人跌倒，许多人兴起，又要做毁谤的画饼，叫许多人心里的意念显露出来。你就对玛利亚说，你自己的心也要被刀刺透。
Now, I don't know about you, but I like to bring good news.
我不知道你会怎么样想，但是我是喜欢报好消息。
Taking bad news, not so much.
要我去告诉别人坏消息，我不太感兴趣。
And yet, even though Simeon had a very small role to play in this whole story, he was willing to do all that God told him.
虽然在整个神这个故事当中，西面只是有一个很小的角色来扮演，但是他是完全照神的意思来做。
And this is true for Anna as well.
这对亚拿来讲也是同样的。
Anna was a prophetess, the scripture says.
经文告诉我们亚拿是一位女先知。
And she had a hard life.
她的生活并不顺遂。
If she married at the time, which most Jewish young girls did, she got probably married at 15. She was probably married at 15 years of age.
照当时的习俗，犹太人，她可能是在15岁左右就结婚了。
And she was married for 7 years, and then her husband dies.
她结婚后七年，她的丈夫去世。
And she figured that she's probably now been serving in the temple for 60 years.
到这个遇见主耶稣的时候，她在圣殿里面已经侍奉了大约有60年。
And how did she serve?
她是怎样侍奉神呢？
With fasting and prayer.
经文告诉我们，她是禁食祷告。
Not very flashy, is it?
这个是很看起来很不起眼的。
I mean, not even very appealing, and probably.
事实上也是我们大多数人所不愿意不喜欢去做的。
I mean, I love to pray.
我们可能喜欢祷告。
But fasting, not so much.
但是要禁食，经常禁食呢，可能会犹豫。
As a matter of fact, my stomach is telling me already that it's time to eat lunch.
我事实上我的胃现在已经告诉我提醒我该吃午餐了。
And yet her service, although seemingly completely insignificant, is given that we might glorify God.
她的侍奉在神面前的侍奉看起来似乎是微不足道，然而她的确是归荣让神得着荣耀。
She goes from being a prophetess of sorts to actually being an evangelist.
她 过去可能是一个女先知，然而在此刻她就成为一个布道者。
And she starts telling everyone that the Messiah has been born.
她等于是告诉 在场的所有人弥赛亚已经出生。
But there's one more group of people we need to look at when we think about the service.
另外还有一批人我们应该要看一看，当我们谈到对神的侍奉。
And for that, we have to jump out of Luke and Luke 2 and go to Matthew chapter 2.
所以我们要离开，暂时离开路加福音第二章，要到马太福音第二章去。
And that's the wise men.
就是几位博士。
Now, I throw them in here for a couple of reasons.
我在这里讲他们是有原因的。
You know, first is the fact that they follow the pattern of what the service of the godly needs to look like.
因为他们显现出对神的侍奉是应该这样的。
And part of the reason is because today is their day, right? It's Epiphany.
我们要谈到几位博士也是因为今天是主显节，主显节就是由这位博士来的。
So many of the pictures that we see at Christmas time show the wise man with the shepherds in the stable worshiping the child.
在圣诞节的故事里面，我们看到的图像常常是东方的博士几位博士跟牧羊人都在那个主耶稣出生的马厩里面。
Didn't happen that way.
事实上并没有，并非如此。
In Matthew chapter 2, we find out from the proclamation that Herod made that Jesus may have been as old as 2 years old by this time.
在马太福音第二章里面提到希律王的命令，当时，主耶稣大概已经是两岁大。
And we also find from this passage that Jesus was no longer a baby, but a child, it says.
而且从这段经文中我们发现到耶稣当时并不是一个婴孩而是一个小孩子是个童子。
And that he was living in a house, not in a stable.
而且他是住在一个房屋子里并不是在马厩里面。
So, what's the big deal about the wise men?
所以这几个东方博士到底有什么大不了的呢?
Well, they're called wise men from the East.
他们是从东方来的博士，有学问的人。
Most Bible scholars think that they were astrologers who came from maybe as far away as Persia.
大部分的学者认为他们可能是星象学家，可能是远从波斯而来。
They made a trip of almost, probably at least 1,000 miles to get to where Jesus was.
他们旅行大约有1000英里之远来到耶稣所在的地方。
And they had to go over mountains and through deserts.
他们必须穿山越岭渡过沙漠。
And it was a very expensive trip for them.
这趟旅行是会耗费他们不少钱财。
And contrary to many pictures in the Christmas story that we see culturally, they were not kings.
我们虽然在传统上圣诞节的图片里面看到他们好像是三位东方的王。
They were more likely akin to a university professor than they were to a royalty.
他们事实上可能是更像是大学教授。
So they didn't have unlimited resources.
所以他们的财源可能有限。
And yet they came and they brought expensive gifts.
他们来朝见耶稣带了昂贵的礼物。
These were gifts that really cost them something.
这些礼物都是非常所费不赀的。
Now, how many were there?
有几样礼物啊。
Well, usually we talk about three wise men.
我们常常以为是有三位博士。
But that's not what the scriptures teach.
然而经文里面并没有说有三位博士。
We get the number three from the number of gifts that they brought.
我们通常猜想是三位博士是因为他们献给耶稣三样礼物。
Gold and myrrh and frankincense.
黄金乳香末药。
But we don't know how many, there could have been two, there could have been 20.
我们不知道到底有几位博士，可能是两位博士，也可能是20位博士。
But regardless, they made this trip.
无论如何，他们完成了这项旅程。
Like Anna and Simeon, they appear on the scene very briefly and then disappear.
就像西面跟亚拿，他们在圣殿里与耶稣弥赛亚相见，非常短暂，然后就消失了。
At least with Anna and Simeon, we know their names.
至少我们还从圣经里面得知西缅跟亚拿这两位的名字。
But these are men that are completely anonymous to us.
然而这几位博士，我们根本不知道他们的名字。
And that brings us to the third concept.
所以这就带领我们到了第三个概念。
And that's the whole aspect of what's considered to be the success of his servants.
就是说当我们强调侍奉神的成功是什么呢？
Were they successful?
他们成不成功几位博士
Well, I mean, we know who they are. That's one thing.
我们至少知道一件就是他们是谁
But again, virtual anonymity beyond this specific story.
事实上他们几乎是不为人知的在这个故事以外是没有我们一无所知
I mean, the wise men brought gifts, but they also got Herod onto Jesus' trail, so to speak.That Herod could now come after Jesus.
他们的确把礼物献给耶稣，但是他们之后也必须要逃亡，因为他们不能再回到希律那里。
Again, Anna and Simeon telling the story could have made a lot of Jerusalem very nervous about the fact that now Rome might come down on them.
同样的，西面跟亚拿他们传讲了从神而来的讯息以后，可能当时耶路撒冷的人会不以为然，可能会反对他们。
And yet, in each of these cases, there are several important factors that we can look at.
在 这些不同的情况当中，我们可以 看到有一些 重要的因素。
In each case, the importance of listening is essential.
在这每一位神的仆人的状况当中，我们都看到这个聆听的重要性。
None of these people got tremendous volumes of revelation.
他们 这几个人的故事，他们并没有得到神巨大很多的启示。
All that Anna and Simeon got maybe was a little bit of a nudge by the Holy Spirit.
西面可能当时只是受到一个圣灵的催促。
And with the wise men, we don't even know what information actually prompted them to come.
至于东方的博士，我们也不知道到底他们得到了怎样的讯息，使得他们愿意来踏上这个艰辛之旅。
I mean, it may have been signs in the heavens that God says we're not really even supposed to pay attention to.
可能他们看到了天上的一些预兆，我们一般人可能根本不会注意到这些。
Yet they were faithful to respond to what they heard.
他们对于他们所听到的是非常忠心的回应。
There also is the whole aspect of the importance of being patient and waiting.
另外一方面，他们也都是非常有耐心的，愿意等候。
Anna and Simeon waited for years before they saw what they had been promised they'd see.
西面跟亚拿都等待了无数的非常多许多年才能够见到应许中的弥赛亚。
That may be one of the most difficult things that we have to do as believers is to wait on God and be patient.
我们作为一个信徒，可能对我们来讲最困难的一件事情，就是要有耐心的来等候神。
I had a seminary professor that prayed for his wife's parents.For almost 40 years before they became Christians.
我在神学院里的一位教授，他为他妻子的父母救恩祷告，差不多祷告了40年。
How hard would that be?
这是不是很难呢？
And yet they were willing to wait and be patient and allow God to work.
他们愿意等候，以耐心等候，等候神来成就事情。
I have four daughters that are apart from the Lord.Four daughters that are not walking with Jesus.
我有四个女儿并没有与主同行。
All of them for different reasons.
她们都有不同的理由。
And these are young women who at one time professed faith.
她们都是这些年轻的女孩子，在过去某一段时间，她们曾经都宣告是对主有信心。
And we have prayed for them since before they were born.
我们在她们出生之前就为她们祷告。
And yet God says, wait.
然而神说你要等候。
And it's awful hard to wait.
要等候是非常困难的。
And as I told people in Sunday school this morning, patience is not one of my greater virtues.
今天早上在主日学中我也分享我的美德之中并不包括耐心。
And yet we see in each of the lives of Anna and Simeon and the wise men that they were willing to be patient and wait.
在西面、亚拿还有东方博士的故事当中，我们都看到他们是非常有耐心，愿意等候神。
The importance of anonymity also comes up with this.
最后一点就是不为人知的这一点。
Are we willing to work and have no one notice or offer thanks to us for what we're doing?
即使是没有人注意到我们或是感谢我们，我们仍然愿意为主做工吗
？It's awful hard.
这是非常困难的。
And yet, if we are willing to do this, to commit ourselves to working without any recognition, then God will ultimately reward that.
如果我们愿意为主做工，即使不被任何得不到任何承认，神必定奖赏我们。
Next slide, please. So, what are we to make of all this?
所以我们可以得到什么样的结论呢？
Well.In our lives, suffering will happen at some time or another.
在我们的生活当中，苦难、困难，在某个时候一定会发现的，会发生的。
It may come in terms of a situation which is inconvenient to us.
也许就是会有一些让我们觉得很不方便的状况会出现。
The trip from Bethlehem to or from Nazareth to Bethlehem was inconvenient.
从拿撒勒到伯利恒的旅途是非常不方便的。
And yet God used it powerfully.
然而神却大大的使用这个旅途。
Waiting is hard.
等候是并非易事。
And yet, when we wait, we begin to see how God works both externally in the situation and in our own lives.
然而，当我们在等候的时候，我们可以看见神如何在外在的情况中做工，同时也在我们心里面做工。
God's purpose for us may be very small.
神在我们每一个人身上的一个旨意可能是是微小的。
But every little part is essential to the larger picture that God is painting.
然而我们每一个人微小的一个目的一个旨意都配合起来就能够成就神一个伟大的这个图像。
And nothing is ever to be looked down on as being too small in serving the Lord.
我们永远都不应该轻看任何一项服事是太微小了太微不足道。
But if we are willing, then God will use these circumstances and situations to bring glory to himself.
然而只要我们愿意神就会运用这些微不足道的情况来成就他自己的荣耀。
And blessing both to us and to the world.
也会带来祝福给我们以及整个世界。
So, what are you going to do this year?
所以你们今年想要做些什么呢?
Are you willing to allow God to take your circumstances and to use them to glorify himself?
你愿意让神使用你的情况来使用你并且荣耀他吗?
Encourage you to keep that in mind throughout all of 2019.
在整个2019年当中。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Father, we thank you for your word.
天父，我们感谢你的话语。
And we thank you that you are willing to take and use every single circumstance in our lives to bring glory to your name.
我们感谢你，你愿意使用我们生活中的每一种状况来荣耀你自己的名。
Lord, help us to take courage in the fact that no matter how small or how big, what takes place is the result of your working in our lives through your Holy Spirit.
主啊，让我们得到鼓励。不管是我们生活中遇到发生任何情况多大多小，我们都是能够荣耀你。
So Lord, as we begin this new year, we offer to you all of our disappointments from the past.
主啊，在这一年的开始，我们把我们过去一切所有的失望、沮丧都摆在你面前。
And Lord, we offer you all of our tomorrows.
我们也把我们一切的未来都摆在你面前。
And pray, Lord, that you would bring them together in such a way that the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up and praised.
我们祷告，你能够把我们的过去以及未来都结合起来，以致让耶稣基督的名得着荣耀。
And Lord, in the process, we pray that we might know and love you more.
主啊，我们也祷告，在这段过程当中，我们能够更多认识你，也爱你更多。
Thank you so much.
我们是感谢你。
In Jesus' name.
奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
Amen.